service that we are elated, ecstatic, and excited to have two of our associate ministers preach today. And they were going to preach last Sunday, but God had other plans. I mean, you know, man can't change God's plans. Amen. But I thought, okay, we will cancel 8 o'clock. We can try to get to 11 o'clock. And that didn't work. We canceled 11 o'clock, and God had other plans. And so when God speaks, we got to just listen. And it worked out that we would simply be canceled last week, but be prepared to have worship service and worship experience on this coming Sunday, on this Sunday, I should say. And so we're grateful that it worked out, that these two guest preachers actually could also then minister on what has now become our fifth Sunday, missionary focused Sundays. And at 8 o'clock, we had Minister Ella Denise Scott, who preached the word on to our congregation at our 8 o'clock service. And she was a blessing. And I am confident and very certain that God will use this preacher, Minister Anne Marie Laddie, to be a blessing to the people of God. Minister Laddie is a native of Trinidad and Tobago, located in the Caribbean islands, and was born to the late Ernest and Veronica David, the youngest of seven children. In 1991, Minister Emery Laddie became a member of our congregation under our pastor emeritus, the late Reverend Samuel Howard Woodson, Jr. And then in 2000, she rejoined under my leadership and has been faithful since then. We are grateful. In 2002, she returned, I should say, and has been faithful ever since. She has worked in a variety of different ministries, particularly with our missions ministry and our youth ministry, and now our new members ministry. And again, serving in various capacities, some known, many others unknown, but we're grateful to the work for the work that she is doing. She was licensed here at Shiloh in 2013, and like Minister Denise Scott, graduated with a certificate in theology and ministry from Princeton Theological Seminary in January of 2014. I'm very proud of her and Denise and many others who were able to go and get that training. Minister Laddie has two, as she says, wonderful and adorable children. Chanel, who is here. Chanel, raise your hand. And her husband, Garvin, son-in-law, raise your hand, Brother Garvin. And Stefan is not here. And so we want to thank God for the two gifts that God has brought into her life. And the latest gift, little ones, amen, grandchildren, raise the grandchildren up so they can see them over there. Amen. Look at them beautiful little ones. Beautiful. Praise the Lord. Serenity and Darla. And we praise God. So Minister Laddie resides in West Hampton. Again, has preached in a variety of different venues. Roman Tower, 6 o'clock, Friday noon. But more importantly, is concerned about feeding the sheep that God has helped provide, helping me to feed the sheep that God has provided here at the Shiloh Baptist Church. And so there's much more one could say about Minister Laddie, but the one thing that I do know is that she loves God, she loves the Word of God, and she has been fully invested in the call to ministry that God gave her in a dream. And I'm sure she may even share a little bit about her own testimony. So without further ado, I am excited to bring to the pulpit one of Shiloh's own associate ministers, Minister Anne Marie Laddie. Put your hands together. Give God a praise offering for her. Amen. Come on over here, Sister Minister Laddie. And as she stands, I want you to pray with me as I pray for her as she proclaims the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stretch your right hand towards the pulpit and let's pray together. God, I thank you for your servant, and I pray that you would indeed use her, bless her mightily in the name of Jesus. And now, congregation, repeat these words after me. God, bless me, challenge me, convict me through your word preached through this servant, Minister Anne Marie Laddie. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, 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 and amen. Give God another praise offering. Minister Laddie.
Thank you, Shiloh. Thank you, Pastor. This is really a humbling experience for me right now. I've come a long, long way. There were times that the road had been really, really rough. But I thank God for his grace and his mercy that he kept me. So I really and truly are grateful for this opportunity to share on the same pulpit that you do on a Sunday morning. Thank you. Thank you. There was this song that God had placed in my spirit. And I woke up on Thursday morning, actually from my sleep, singing this song, and I can't sing. So I had to get the help from my brother and my sister here, so.
Hallelujah. Only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Only you are wonderful. For there's no faithful the truth. All my love, my heart, my life is a testimony. Come and join me, lift your voices, let's sing, holy you. Only you are holy. Come and join me saying, only you are worthy.
Only you are worthy.
For only you, God, are wonderful.
Only you are wonderful.
Say, for there's no one.
For there's no one.
Testimony
is a testimony.
Now I want you to stay right there and sing. It's a testimony.
It's a testimony.
You've been through worse, but God brought you up because
it's a testimony.
Are you Lord God
give you praise, God. We give you glory, God. We worship you right now, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just got to thank God for the Holy Spirit right now, because this was a song God put in my spirit. I woke up with this song, singing this song, and I had to ask myself, I was like, sometimes God do stuff to us that we try to understand, but it was totally mind-blowing. Because God knows the song that I had, that I wanted to sing, was called The Anthem. But he totally took that out of my spirit. And I just thank God for being obedient. Today, my scripture comes from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35. Say amen when you have it. The scripture reads, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? 7 times? No, Jesus replied, 70 times 7. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He could not pay, so the king ordered that he, his wife, his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. But the man fell down before the king and begged him, 'Oh, sir, be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then the king was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But then when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient and I will pay it,' he pleaded. But his creditor would not wait. He had the man arrested and jailed until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him what had happened. Then the king called the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgive you that treacherous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man to prison until he had paid every penny. That is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brother and sister in your heart." This is the word of the Lord. I want you to pray with me on this topic, that forgiveness is not easy. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you, Lord, as humble as I know how. I ask, Lord, that you will decrease me in flesh, but let your Holy Spirit robe me right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that your light will shine within me, that every word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, my God and my Redeemer. You may be seated. The scripture tells us about Peter. Peter was familiar with the Jewish traditions. So Peter taught that asking Jesus if 7 times was good enough to forgive someone was sufficient. Because in the Jewish tradition, up to 3 times was good. So Peter figured, you know what? I'm going to double it up a little bit and add a bonus to it. So 7 times, I'm doing great. But Jesus answered Peter with the story. And he told him, no, 70 times 7. See, not only was that story addressed to Peter, but it was also addressed to us. It allowed us to search deeply in our hearts and consciousness and make us face the truth about the act of forgiveness. See, the act of forgiveness allows us to free ourselves from hurt that was either done to us or what we have done to others. However, not being able to forgive can hinder our spiritual walk. Let me start by saying, forgiveness is not easy. I've been there many times. God knows I've been there many times. But when my walk with God starts changing, the act of forgiveness becomes more prominent in my life. It is not easy to forgive someone who has hurt you. But when you really and truly experience the act of forgiveness, it is liberating. In 2003, I would say I really and truly get to know what real forgiveness was all about. I get to understand the benefit and the power of forgiveness. I was enrolled at Palmer Theological Seminary, and we had to write a paper about forgiveness. And in writing that paper, it allowed me to really reflect on some of the things that I've been carrying on and had been holding on to. I had a girlfriend that really said something about me that hurt my spirit. So, you know, when I think about her and I thought about the situation, I would get nuts in my stomach. It really affected me more than I realized. But in writing that paper, I had to take a mirror and put it in front of me and start looking at me. And I start praying about it because it gave me really, really made me sick. To be honest with you, it made me sick. I was angry. I was so bitter. One Wednesday morning, I went to the 6 a.m. service at the church she fellowshipped at the time. And during service, the Holy Spirit said, go to her. Go to her and ask her for forgiveness. And I got up and I walked to her and I said to her, forgive me. And she in turn said to me, forgive me. And we just hugged each other and cried. And the freedom is like a weight, Pastor, was just lifted. The freedom that I experienced that morning, I get to realize that my relationship with God was mended. Because when you have unforgiveness in your spirit, it affects your prayer life. It affects the way that you connect with God. But that morning, I felt like God just hold me and wrap me in his arms and say, welcome back. You know? As Christians, one of our challenges, one of the challenges we face is the act of forgiveness. We know about forgiveness, but we just don't incorporate it in our daily lives. It is important for us to forgive each other so we can receive forgiveness from God. In the model prayer found in Matthew 6:12, we're instructed to pray. And in the prayer, we say, forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Forgiveness is the path to a new beginning. It is offering our hand to the other party, hoping for a renewed relationship. Forgiveness allows us to take the first step to deal with obstacles that may have destroyed a relationship. When we forgive, it is pleasing. God is happy. It is pleasing in His sight. Not only are we released from bitterness, guilt, anger, hatred, shame, it also allows us to grow deeper in our walk with God. True forgiveness mirrors God's grace and His mercy towards us. And I'm telling you right now, true forgiveness is not easy. You wrestle with that thing until you finally realize that you're not winning this fight. So you become obedient to what God is instructing you to do. So Jesus set the story in the context of God's grace when He began with the statement, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with the servant who had borrowed money from him. Jesus pointed to the debt that the servant owed the king to illustrate to us our debt to God is totally beyond the possibilities of our repayment. When the king demanded that the man and his family be sold into slavery as payment on the debt, the man fell on his face and begged for mercy. The king had compassion on the man and canceled his debt. The king's forgiveness was based on the man's attitude and not his inability to pay the debt. The freedman, he freed the man of the debt by paying it himself when he crossed it off the books. However, Jesus illustrates the magnitude of God's forgiveness towards us in this story. He wanted to let Peter know that when he stands before God, there is no way we can ever pay for our sins. Therefore, God's forgiveness not only reveals His immeasurable grace, but we would be hopeless without it. You see, the other part of the story compares the nature of man to the nature of God. The servant who had been forgiven left the king and went into the street where he met a man who owed him less than what he had owed the king. The poor man begged for mercy, promising that he would repay. See, we never know who is looking, okay? Because this man didn't think that somebody would go back and let the king know what he did. But there's always somebody looking. But the servant refused to show mercy and threw the poor man in prison until he could pay his debt. We see how quickly he forget mercy. The heartlessness of the forgiven man disregarded his obligation to show mercy to his brother after he himself had received it. Compared to the offense we commit against God, the offense that our brothers commit does not compare, not even a small amount, and is so insignificant. God's forgiveness demands us to look at others through the eyes of mercy and not justice. Justice said that both men owed the debt and those debts be collected. But the principle of mercy looked at the debtors instead of the debt. Romans 5:8, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. In forgiving the offender, the injured party let him go free. This is what God does in regards to our sin. We have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. But through the sacrifice of His Son, God's wrath and anger were dissolved when He freed us from the curse of eternal debt. Through Christ, God extended to us the magnificent gift of forgiveness. Matthew 1:21, she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. 1 Corinthians 15:3 said, I pass on to you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. When we refuse to forgive or limit our forgiveness, we allow bitterness to harbor within us. Bitterness is like a tumor of the spirit. It is cruel disease that does to the soul what cancer does to the body. When you don't forgive someone who have hurt you for 20 years, 30 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever it is, the cancer that they're talking about is a spiritual disease. You start treating people bitterly. It's that coming out by the attitude you portray, the way you speak to someone, the way you handle things. People start seeing that bitterness coming out from inside of you. When I started my job, I remember when I went to work, the first day I went to work, and I was assigned where I was supposed to be sitting, cleaned my desk, and it was dusty. But I cleaned it up, cleaned everything there, left there that evening, went home. The next day, I came back, and someone was sitting in my spot. And boy, I was hot. I was so angry. I was upset all day. Now, this was the person who was supposed to be training me for the position. But there was some kind of disagreement within her and the supervisor. So she sat across from the supervisor, and I would go to her. But when I go to her, she had this, she don't know anything. But she's been in the job for 2 years, and she's the senior. But, But it's okay. It's okay, because God have a way of turning all this stuff around. Yeah. The next morning, I woke up, and I said, God, I can't go to work with this in my spirit. I was upset to the point that I knew I couldn't focus. And I had to ask God to release me of that. So I went to work, and I asked, I said, can I speak with you? And she said, sure. And I said, I don't mind you take the seat, because you are here longer than I have. But there's a way in which it should have been done. Had you asked me, I would have moved. Well, I don't want to sit in front of her. I don't like her. I said, do you mind if we pray? So we prayed for 3 days straight together. Come to find out, now I'm sitting in front of the supervisor now. This is like my second day at work. Come to find out, that seat that was supposed to be mine, anybody sitting in that seat don't stay on the job. So God just turned that thing around, because she thought that she was hurting me. But in fact, because of her actions, I was blessed, because now I'm on the job for 2 years and I'm permanent. Thank you, Jesus. And she's no longer there. But, you know, that's because I didn't allow the bitterness to stay inside of me. No. When we recognize the destructive forces that we allow to infest into our lives, with God's help, we can be free of having a bitter spirit. And that's exactly what I did. You know, because I couldn't do this by myself. With my flesh, I'd be like, you know what? But I had to bring God in, and I asked him to remove that bitterness from me. The Lord said that 7 times is not too much to forgive the same person for the same offense in one day. Jesus says in Luke 17:4 that we are to forgive others with the same infinite grace with which we are forgiven by God. Forgiveness is liberating. Excuse me. It takes us out of darkness and brings us into God's marvelous light. John 1, verse chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, tells us that God is the light and there is no darkness in him. So if we are lying, if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not living in the truth. But if we are living in the light of God's presence, just as Christ is, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from every sin. What does it mean when we forgive someone? What does it mean when we have forgiven someone who has wronged us, and by doing so, we set the person free? True forgiveness is experienced only in relationship and is known only in reconciliation. When God forgives us, his forgiveness brings about an amazing and wonderful relationship. We are reconciled with God, and we begin to enjoy a fellowship with him that the world will never know or the world can't take away. Forgiveness is not about the relationship really that you have with the other person, but it's more about the relationship that you have with God. My fellow missionaries and evangelists, I'm here to tell you, to remind you that you're on a spiritual journey. Before you can board on this flight, there are a few checkpoints that you got to go through. See, you already expressed your interest of your calling. So now, you got to go through TSA now before you can go through the gate to board the flight. So open up your Louis Vuitton, your Coach, your Michael Kors or whatever Kors you have, and see if you have some hazardous material in there. Because if you do, when you go through, you're going to hear beep, beep, beep. But if you remove the hazardous material before, then you're clear to go. Sometimes you may want to force your way through, but that's not going to work either. But once you go through the gate, then you're going to be able to get some freebies. Because you're going to see some stores around, and you can get some freebies from the stores. You can get a cup of joy, a bundle of love, some peace, some kindness, some goodness, some faithfulness, some gentleness. You can get it all. And if you want it all together, just order a bundle of the fruit of the Spirit. And you can find it in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But now that you're on the plane, this is not Air Force One, this is SBC One. Now that you're on the plane, the door shut. And you hear, fasten your seat belts. Okay. Now the itinerary coming on. See, we're going to be making a few stops. We're going to stop at Rowan Towers, Good News Home for Girls, the Bo Robinson Center. We're going to be at the Toy Drive or the Food Drive, the Court Drive. See, we're going to be making a few stops. But now they're going to tell you who the pilot and the co-pilot is. Flying with you today, the pilot is Jesus. The co-pilot is his father. And the flight attendant is going to be the Holy Spirit. Now, you might experience some you might experience some unforeseen emergency landing. Because, you know, you might have a debt here and you have to visit a family or whatever's going on, sickness, you have to go to the hospital, to the nursing home. So, you know, you might have a little bit of unforeseen circumstances going on. But you're going to experience also on your flight some turbulence. But when you experience that turbulence, listen now. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realm. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Put on the sturdy belt of truth and the bold armor of God's righteousness. For shoe, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray all times, on every occasion, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayer for all Christians everywhere. But I'm here to tell you right now that you can put all this stuff on, but if you have unforgiveness in your heart, how can you minister to somebody who is also in darkness when you are in darkness? If you cannot forgive someone who you know, how can you pray for somebody who you don't know? As I stated earlier, forgiveness is not easy. But the love, the joy, and the peace we experience are worth every moment of it. So we are to forgive in a spirit of humble obedience to the God by whom we have been forgiven. The bottom line is, God commanded us to forgive each other with the same forgiving spirit in which he has shown towards us. It is a joy to accept forgiveness, but it's a greater joy to give forgiveness. Forgive others for Jesus' sake. It is his will for us to forgive others as an act of obedience and devotion to him. It is an extent of our worship. Colossians 3:12 reads, since God chose you to be the holy people whom you love, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace. You must make allowance for each other's fault and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgive you, so you must forgive others. Forgive others for our sake. Get rid of self-destructive bitterness. Forgive others for their sake, the Christian duty to allow God's love to flow through us to others is fulfilling and extending forgiveness. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer we pray, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. The question is, what if God forgive us in the same measure in which we forgive our brothers and our sisters? Where would we be? May God bless you.
Well, let's give God a praise offering for the wonderful word that has come forth. In the name of Jesus. Choir's going to sing a song of invitation, and we want to extend the deacons and deaconess and clergy to help me extend this invitation to Christian discipleship. Our sister has put forth a word that has challenged and convicted the people of God today, forgiveness. And we want to invite someone here today to receive God's good news, his grace, and his mercy. Is there anyone here who wishes to unite with our church? This is the time to do that. If you don't have a church home, you're searching. God wants to know, wants you to know that you can be a part of this body of believers. But membership in a church doesn't save you. Relationship with God is what saves you. And so we want to invite someone, not just to membership, but more importantly, to relationship. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we invite you to come give us your hand and give God your heart. Look at God today. Somebody give God a praise offering today. Beautiful, beautiful. Look at God. Look at God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give God a praise offering for both these individuals coming forward. In the name of Jesus. Anyone else? This is the invitation to God's grace and His mercy. You can come just as you are. You don't have to be perfect. God wants you to come as you are. Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today? Anyone else here today? In the name of Jesus. Look at God today. Look at God. Bless you. Bless you today. Come on, someone put your hands together and give God another praise offering. In the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit have His way. In the name of Jesus. Anybody else? God is calling you, whoever you are, to step on out and give us your hand and give God.